Hi. Woo. I'm so psyched to be here. Did you know we were gonna get such a tar setup? This is like the first 20 minutes of really like brutally ask him questions. Well, I wanted to do this right, so I wrote this intro. Get your hankies ready. I couldn't be more obligated to give our guest the James Lipton treatment tonight. I hope he enjoys this. This week's guest is a cultural critic published in GQ, Cosmopolitan, and pause for a moment of silence, MTV News. He's also written for TV shows like Daybreak, Q-Force, and Uncoupled, silence for Quibi also, just want to say that. And last but not least, he's the co-host, or as I like to say, lovable sidekick on a podcast called Keep It. Ever heard of it? Anybody? Now he's finally clawed his way into the literary world with his essay collection, Pure Innocent Fun. Please welcome to Keep It, he's so shy, Ira Madison III.
Like, there's a I hate Sawyer side, like, from Lost?
This isn't a Mark Twain thing.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. We'll get to that later, or not. Hi, Boston.
Hi. How insane is it that we're here? I'm shocked. We were just backstage, like Nicole Scherzinger, praying. And then did you know that when she gets out on stage in Sunset Boulevard, she's just there for a while, and she says while she's on stage, she's still praying.
Yeah.
You're paying to watch her pray. It's crazy.
She's great in that, though.
I can't stop talking about it. In fact, I talked too long about it on Keep It, so sorry.
So we're here in the city of...
Yeah, what is it? Sisterly Dreams?
What's your name here?
Yeah, what do you go by? What's your, slogan
now? Yeah, but Beantown, but like...
How do you feel about Beantown? Up? Down? No.
Well, the last time I was in Boston, I interviewed Lena Waithe, so Beantown.
Okay.
Get it?
Yes. I'm there. I continue to be blown away that you can just look onto the street here. It's very Total Request Live.
Yeah.
I don't know who set this up.
Someone will be outside requesting corn, freak on a leash.
Yes. No, I was always saying my favorite thing about TRL is when someone would ask for an oddly emotional song. They'd be like, Kid Rock, Only God Knows Why, because my uncle died 3 months ago, and then people would scream. It was so inappropriate.
I wrote about TRL in the book. Did you ever think that you would be, you know, having to interview me?
It is a nightmare. I have to say, I'm happy to be with you. I've never been lower. But I think we all knew that writing a book would be in the cards because, well, first of all, after a while, if you just keep talking, it's basically considered a book.
Yeah.
And we record it anyway, so why not? Mm-hmm. But we can start talking about the book, sure. What was the actual impetus for writing essays as opposed to writing like a feature or something that isn't just fragmented? ADD?
Yeah, well, I wrote a feature, a film, if you recall, for Jennifer Hudson.
Oh, yeah. Is that in a closet somewhere?
Where somewhere, is that? Yeah. Let's just say I'm not getting that J-Hud show tunnel anytime soon.
Oh, okay. Ugh. Kiki Palmer really nailed it last
week. She did. It must be like the big stars go viral, right? But does everybody get it?
No, do they offer that up to everybody? Like, is Edward Norton like doing the worm on the Jennifer Hudson show?
I want to see Carla Sofia Gascons. Okay, well, so now, is she going to show up at the SAG Awards?
So I'm writing for the SAG Awards, which...
You can clap for Lewis. He writes, too.
I know. I'm trying. Yes, I'm very excited. It's up in the air. They're very like, can we write three versions of the script? And also, that's sort of the tough thing about writing for award shows is you write for all these inevitabilities and then also things that never happen. Like, if this person might say this, if this person wins. So it's this, like, pinball that never ends and you never feel like you did everything.
What's one thing you've written for an award show that didn't happen? Like, when you were doing it for Jimmy.
Ooh. Well, I wrote for the last Oscars I wrote for, because I've written for multiple. I wrote a long joke about how people complain that there's no original content in movies anymore. And I was like, we got a whole movie about a superstar lesbian EGOT winner. And instead, all you guys said, what's Sonic the Hedgehog up to? And watch that instead. And it was, see, you were like, yeah, it's a five. And it got cut the minute before the Oscars. He cut like three jokes before the end.
Oh, that must hurt.
Yes. But at the same time, if you watch like an Oscars monologue or most award shows monologue, it comes down to like 12 or 13 jokes, really. Like it's really, they have to say so much to everybody in the room before they can get to an actual Weekend Update like punchline.
So do we think Miss Carla,
yes,
is coming to the SAG Awards?
Your authentic accent, as always. I just want to say...
Mi gente Latina.
Yeah, you're like Bob Hoskins. Anywhere in the world, I believe you. What was the question?
Well, do you think she's showing up?
She's got to show up to one of them.
Yeah, well, the Oscars, obviously. She's got the nom.
Right, yes. Yeah. I think she'll hang back for a few ceremonies, and then we'll see her at the very tail end. Because, by the way, there's like 9 award shows. So yeah. It's easy to skip, and no one will care.
Okay, yeah. But she's given the interviews. Like, I want to see her at the ceremony. I want, like... Would someone make a joke about her, too?
Oof. I mean, like, Conan O'Brien has the range, but I don't know about that kind of range. I would guess probably not. It's such an uncomfortable situation. I also, by the way, I just want to reiterate, there has never been a scandal like this. And in like, Oscar's lore, like, Oscar's so weight is nothing compared to this. Yeah. Like, so I don't envy the writing staff, really. Other than I think Conan is a brilliant host, and I cannot wait to see him host it. Yeah. And I think, I think it's fair to say, and I, of course, write for a late night show host, best late night show host of all time. He's fabulous and just has such like gravitas and intelligence about him. Like he's the kind of person we're always like hoping happens in entertainment and rarely does. And I rarely stick up for someone from Harvard like this. I just want to say. Love you, Boston.
All right. So we're here.
Oh, yeah, we have book. Yes.
We're going to talk about my book, yes. Obviously. We have a very special guest. This week?
Yes. Oh, go ahead.
It's just me.
Oh, yes.
We don't have...
I'm livid. Go ahead.
But we were like, can we get someone from Boston? Like, who's here?
Yeah.
Just hanging out.
Sam, Diane. Yeah, right.
But no, we flew Lewis out. It's just us. Just the Iron Lewis Variety Hour. And a half.
Yes. We rarely do those anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah. When are we going to do an episode just the two of us again?
Yeah, no. That real Debbie Reynolds and Miller energy we bring. I haven't hoofed in years.
I do miss, you know, the old days, you know, when Joan Rivers was on the show. I've had like 17 guest co-hosts, you know?
Oh, yes. Yes. We just went through, we've had several co-hosts over the years, including, we had a Cousin Oliver for one season. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
So, anyway, we're also going to discuss, you know, the 2000s.
Yes,
this week.
Because I think on the podcast, we defame the 2000s a lot because they are a miserable decade. But we wanted to redeem it since it's like largely the focus of Ira's book. So we're going to definitively pick the 10 best moments of the 2000s. And you can all scream at us if you don't like it or whatever.
Yeah.
Riot, a real Blackboard Jungle type explosion can happen. Yeah.
And they can do it in person this time.
Yes.
You know, instead of just at home.
I cannot imagine listening to like people as cocky about our opinions as we are, and then just not being able to scream at us. I truly would be upset listening at home.
We're going to talk about the 2000s, and then we're also going to do, after our keep it, we are going to invite the audience to give their keep it.
Yes.
Not all of you. There's a lot of people here. It's a sold out show.
Right. And if they end up being personal towards us, that's fine. But, you know, keep it brief. But be the Ricky-like audience member of your dreams. Like, unleash.
I'd like some, like, Wendy interactions, you know? I'm just going to the audience, you know, and be like, you know, are you gay? How you doing?
Our new podcast, Are You Gay? All right.
All right, well, we're going to kick it to a commercial, even though there isn't a real commercial break, but, right. You know.
We'll be right back.
We'll be right back. Keep It is brought to you by Armra Colostrum. We're always on the lookout for ways to strengthen immunity. It's like I'm a Survivor player, you know? and improve our fitness and enhance our skin and hair radiance. And well, now we have an incredible product that tackles all three and more. Armor Colostrum, an ethically sourced bioactive whole food with thousands of benefits.
Armor Colostrum optimizes your whole body microbiome and strengthens your immune barriers to guard against unwelcome particles for your strongest immune health. If you're tired of bloating, Armor Colostrum also helps you feel lighter. While regular probiotics are touted as a gut health solution, they only address one part of the four-part gut wall system. Armor Colostrum naturally fortifies your entire gut wall system, which guards against irritants that can trigger symptoms like bloating and constipation.
A stronger gut barrier also fends off toxins that can drive inflammation and slow down metabolism. Armor Colostrum helps enhance nutrient absorption, stabilize blood sugar levels, and modulate hormones like leptin that ignite your body's fat-burning capacity for your peak metabolic performance. So you want to support the outside as well as the in? Colostrum bioactives have been shown to reactivate hair follicle stem cells, combat hair loss, enhance skin radiance, and activate collagen production.
We've worked out a special offer for our audience. Receive 15% off your first order. Go to tryarmra.com/keepit or enter keep it to get 15% off your first order. That's tryarmra.com/keepit.
So you've written a book.
Yeah. As Heidi Montag said, congrats to everyone who's written a book.
She was so right for that.
Yeah, because she's still trying to do it.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
She's on like the table of contents.
Yeah.
You know what? When you have a song like More is More, you don't need anything beyond that. I'm actually curious because reading the book, first of all, it's just like interacting with you. So it's like you're in the room. Not that I'm constantly in rooms with you, so I don't need more of that sensation, really. But I was actually curious what was hardest for you to write in this book, given that it is pop culture opinions that you would normally spew on the daily. There are personal stories in it. You talk about your family, etc. But what was actually a challenge for you and maybe something you didn't expect to write about?
Well, first of all, even writing the book was hard at first because I've written essays, obviously, for media outlets. You name them all.
Oh, sure.
Not all of them, actually. But no, I've done that before, but it's been like a short form essay, you know? And when you're writing an essay, especially when the way that I have or talking about things on the podcast, right, you're normally reacting to things. And I think this was my first time just not reacting to things because it wasn't current pop culture news.
Right.
You know, it's not, this just happened. What do you think about it? You know? And so it's things that already have many opinions on the internet.
Totally.
And I think maybe one of the hardest was writing about maybe Tom Cruise and Oprah in the book. Because as you know, I love Tom.
Right.
And
this very strange opinion you have that Tom Cruise is cool. Yes.
And I think it was, yeah, it was a little hard, like digging into that essay because it's personal, but it's also writing about the couch incident, writing about both of them as celebrities and just writing my thoughts about him. And obviously it was hard, you know, because it is not a podcast where you're just saying shit and then like people hear it and then they forget about it. It's a book.
Right. They'll be like, look what you said, idiot.
And yes. And you know, do I want a document of what I've said about Scientology just sitting around?
That's the thing. Like, I feel like no matter what I say on the podcast, and this is a lie I'm telling myself, this is not the truth, people will forget. Or like, you'll change your opinion eventually
they
or
do
whatever.
Not. This book tour, you all remember a lot of weird things.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Have you ever been confronted by like a celebrity?
A celebrity, yes.
I don't know that I have.
Yeah. Well,
I sexually intimidate them.
Well, they were mad at both of us. But I'm not going to say who.
Oh.
But, they are a celebrity who was married.
Oh, okay.
And are no longer.
This is...
And they did not like a joke that we made.
Oh.
You know who it is.
Maybe.
We know them.
Oh, okay. Got it. I'll think about it.
Yeah.
I actually still have to think about that. How strange.
But I was confronted in San Francisco, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Someone during the audience Q&A said, do you still think San Francisco is
here we go.
Like, waste of a city? Something else. It was more... colorful, because obviously I said it, but that was years ago.
Oh,
you
know? Right.
So you all remember everything.
Yeah. But I would too. If there was an opinion I hated, I would quote it to that person nonstop.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
I mean, it's so interesting because, you know, my first thought was in Portland, and the book is inspired by Chuck Klosterman's Sex, Drugs, and Cocoa Puffs.
And he was just on the tour with you.
Yes, yes. He surprised me on the tour. Oh, thank you. You can be louder with the awe. Yeah.
Real Full House audience shit going on here.
I want them to hear it when they listen back.
Yeah.
The people who aren't here. We'll put in a laugh track.
Yeah.
it was interesting meeting him, obviously, because I've compared, this is Louis Bate. Uh-huh. I've compared in interviews the book sort of to Exile in Guyville. Because it's in conversation with his book.
Yes.
So, you know, it's like his is the Exile on Main Street by the Rolling Stones.
Oh, I see. Your playful riff on the canon thing.
And yes. I read a Rolling Stone from like the 2000s where Liz Phair met with Mick Jagger backstage at something. Someone introduced them and he was like, something to the effect of like, oh, you know, like you're the girl, you know, like who's done the album, you know, sort of like the vibe of I'm okay with like letting you use our name to,
I see.
You know, sell your album. And that's sort of like how I felt. So maybe that was one of the hardest things. It was how I felt with like, is he ever going to read this?
Mm.
Is he ever going to have like a thought about it? And is he going to like tweet about it or be in an interview and be like, well, fuck him,
uh-huh.
You know? But he was very nice and it was great. And he had lovely things to say about the writing. But then, you know, going back to the opinion and remembering things, right? We played a game. A game tilted in my favor, obviously. But it was like, no, just because it was, the game was, what do you remember about Sex, Drugs, and Cocoa Puffs? You know, and it was like, just so I could win like a copy that he had signed, which I would have loved to have, I did win it, but also I've had one since 2004.
You know? Right.
I was at the line at Borders.
I'll be honest, books take up a little bit of space.
Yeah.
I just don't need that many. Yeah.
But he commented on that and was like, people read the book, people will ask him about it, but these are opinions that he had 29 years ago.
Right.
You know? Yeah. And does he still even have those same pop culture opinions? And he was like, even when he was on the tour, he didn't agree with the things he had written in the book.
Oh, right. You know? Well, of course. Yeah. No, yeah. I'm thinking about things I cared about in 2000 that I still care about now, which is all of the albums I still listen to. Mm-hmm. Actually, those I do still listen to. Now that you've brought up Liz Phair, I have to say, my younger brother turned 36 today,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, happy birthday, Mark. You are now the age of Liz Phair being told by Pitchfork that she's too old to make a pop album.
Yes.
And he goes, Lewis, I am too old to make a pop album. Patriarchy right in my own home. Anyway.
Okay, tell that to Lady Gaga making Mayhem.
Right. I just want to say, well, that's the difference between now and 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Once upon a time, Madonna was the 40-something pop star.
Yeah.
That was it. And now it's like everybody has stuck around. Like the Shakira from Laundry Service is still, mm-hmm. you know, on Vogue. And like all these people, like we just let celebrities continue. I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
I don't think we're smarter or cooler. I don't know.
Liz Phair was sitting in the front of the bus.
Yes.
Metaphorically.
Yeah, if she will. Thank you.
Yeah.
She says that all the time about herself.
The Rosa Parks of older women in pop.
Yes.
I was thinking about that, though, too. I talked about it with Chuck, but it was a thing I mentioned in the book is just reflecting on the Pitchfork review, actually, of Liz Phair's album.
Which was herself titled. As you all know, she had the single Why Can't I? It was a big pop song, and Pitchfork gave it a 0.0. The writer of that article later apologized and said, I was disrespectful of the fact that someone could move from rock to pop, basically. Mm-hmm.
But it was the idea that back then, most of the gatekeepers in music, and especially music criticism, were like straight white men, you know?
That seems crazy. It can't be right.
And for me, it was, that was, I'm not you. So the first time I discovered.
You got that right, faggot.
The first time I discovered.
They can hear
everyone
me outside.
Can hear
I
well,
know. Yeah.
It's Boston.
I'm going to say, it blends right in.
They've heard faggot on that street 20 times today. There was the idea that was the first time I'd heard Liz Phair hearing Why Can't I in the Win a Date with Dad Hamilton soundtrack.
Yes.
You know? And so I.
The people just burst into tears at the words Win a Date with Ted Hamilton.
Josh Duhamel, we love him.
Yes.
But that was my introduction to Liz Phair, and I loved her.
Uh-huh.
And so I was like, hell yeah, I like this album. And then I went back to listen to her other stuff. So like for me, I didn't have a problem with that album. And she didn't seem too old to be making that album to me. Cause I mean, we're older, so maybe sometimes we have those preconceived notions about people making something and it feels like maybe it's cringe or like you're too old to be making this. But I was in high school. Yeah. Every pop star felt older to me.
Yes, you know? Right.
And even the ones who were our age didn't seem my age because when you, you know, like when we, Mandy Moore or whatever, right? And when you realize like she's our age or whatever, I'm like, you were our age making that music?
Yeah, right. Driving that green VW bug in the Candy video when you were like 9 years old. Disturbing. Another celebrity you write about in the book, lovingly, is Whoopi Goldberg. And I want to bring this up because I still feel like, obviously, she's a noted EGOT winner and is everywhere. But in a way, it always feels like we still haven't quite given her legend status because she's too available to us.
Yeah.
And there's this thing of like high, low celebrities where the ultimate example for me, there's two, is Dionne Warwick, which is a towering vocalist. Mm-hmm. And yet also, of course, she's on The Celebrity Apprentice and we don't care.
Yeah.
And then another person like that is Joan Rivers, who if you asked like any comic now is like, oh, she's like one of the definitive comedians about like Marvelous Mrs. Maisel is to a degree based on her, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then also is on The Celebrity Apprentice and we don't even care.
Mm. I cared, yeah. By the way.
Oh, I was there. Oh, baby. Once upon a time, I was a recap artist. That is a dog's life. Hitting send to Michael Osiello at 4 a.m. Woo! You guys should know that name if you don't. Anyway. But why do you think we're kind of like the arm's lengthing the amount of respect we give to her? Or do we? Or do you agree?
Well, I mean, first of all, there's an amazing profile of her that I believe was in the New York Times. Jasmine Hughes wrote it. Mm. So people should read that. But also, someone asked me about this in an interview, actually, about writing like my reference for Whoopi Goldberg, and they were a younger writer, and she was like, what do you do to reconcile her with the, you know, crank who's on The View, you know, with her bad takes all the time? And I was like, well, I don't watch The View.
No.
Yeah, I watch The View at a certain time, but I'm not like watching it every day. And when she has a bad take, it's sort of like, okay, who cares, you know?
I mean, just, you come to expect in a loving way bad takes from people.
That's what The View is
like.
For.
Yes, right. No, but I can safely take bad takes. Yeah. Yes, it's like, I don't want to say junk food, but, you know, somewhere between wisdom and, you know, your aunt popping off and, you know, she's an alcoholic.
You know, we used to love bad takes. Everyone had bad takes and you wouldn't just get attacked for them online.
Well, the deal is you would have the bad take. You would write it on the first iteration of Twitter and then we would find it 7 years later. And then it turned out we did care. Yeah. Mm.
Carla Sofia Gascon.
By the way, we did like a recap of like that whole scandal. I don't think we got to like 1/8 of the tweets or the apologies.
Baby, like, she was like Charlie Hebdo, okay?
Yeah,
like,
right.
She saw a hijab and she was like, turn up the car.
Yes. Gentle Christ.
She was nasty.
I know.
And also, like, we're never going to see her again.
I know. I can't picture.
Unless
she does, like, a road trip picture with Gina Carano or something. Yeah. Which is, by the way, another Dynamite reference. Yeah, yeah.
Well, because unfortunately, you know, she's trans, you know, which means that she's not going to be embraced. First of all, she was never in danger of winning. And now she's not going to be embraced by the people that she, you know, wants to get in bed with.
Yeah.
Unless she and Caitlyn Jenner, like, start their own simple life.
Right.
Which I would watch.
See, she does have a lane.
Okay,
there's
you know
potential.
What?
Yeah, yeah.
Please, let me be Crisis PR.
Yeah. Has there ever been a show about Crisis PR that really satisfies that thing?
Yeah, I mean, Scandal.
Yeah, but I mean, like, that, but like, not politics. I don't know about any of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have a whole Tommy Vietor for that.
No, but imagine, like, Carla Sofia Gascon, and it's not funny me saying Spanish words, guys. Boston is racist. Imagine her and Caitlyn Jenner just like driving across America.
Yeah.
You know, maybe a couple people get hit by the car.
Sure. There needs to be an episode turn. This is basic storyboarding.
I think that's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I miss turning on E. Yeah, you know. Juliana Rancic, where are you?
Yeah. But in the Whoopi thing, you know, I go through movie by movie, you know, like her iconic hits. And she was like the moment at the time, you know, like she's an Oscar winner.
Yep.
Ghost.
Two nominations, yes.
Yeah, and it's...
iconic Oscar host, yes.
Yeah, you know, she has all those accolades. And I mean, I feel like she thinks she's fine, you know, because yeah. she's on The View, like, she's collecting them dollars.
Yeah.
Collecting them dollars, dressed like Katharine Hepburn in a garden.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. But it is, you know, interesting, you know, how she's just... shifted into that, and we don't revere her maybe in the way that she should.
I think the deal is she's not that egotistical, and yeah. she's not like, I'm not here to like rest on my laurels or like sit and get a Kennedy Center tribute. She's like, mm-hmm. let me read the cue cards. Who's on the show today? Mandy yeah. Moore. Okay, I'm going home. You know what I mean?
I know. One of the last things I remember her being in was Xanadu on Broadway.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which we have in New York. Do you have a Broadway here? So she did Xanadu, and I remember, I've probably mentioned this on the show before, you know, but there's a high note she's supposed to hit in the song Evil Woman, and she did sort of the,
Did she get a ladder? What
no,
happened?
She, well, so she, you know, she did the, who's the queen on, Drag Race who did the, like, the jump, like, they were about to go into a split, but then didn't.
Oh, is it Monet?
Yeah, Monet. So she did that with the note, basically.
Oh.
She was like, oh, I'm about to hit the high note, then she went like,
oh,
and like
cute.
That was hilarious, and I'm like, you know, theater actor too. So I think she's probably due for a renaissance that has nothing to do with The View, but yeah. I don't know. This is the renaissance. I wrote it.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Now I believe you mentioned Oprah earlier, and I want to talk about this is a thing from the 2000s that's not on our list. Do we have time for this? I
can. Of course. Yeah,
okay. Baby. Great. Oprah's Legends Ball. If you don't know what this is, was a big. Like banquet she had with every black woman celebrity.
Yeah.
We have never had a summit like this. Mm-hmm. The politics of it. You talk about it in the book a little bit in regards to as it happening around the time of the Tom Cruise incident.
Yeah.
But what is your favorite thing from this gigantic, strange pop cultural moment that I feel like has only lasting impact among stans like us who remember everything?
Well, I think what I love is the anecdote that I mentioned in the book that happens when Tom Cruise comes to Oprah, you know, it's the literal definition of somebody invited to the cookout because Oprah
may have started there.
Right. Cause Oprah is like, Tom, you came to the Legends Ball, and basically it's just describing him as like cutting up with everybody. And like every black celebrity there was like, we fucking love Tom Cruise.
You think like Leontine Price was like, oh, I loved Cocktail.
I mean, probably.
Yeah. My takeaway. Sorry, I meant to ask this to myself. Holly Berry mispronounced Leontine Price's name. Excuse me. They should have had a dialect coach beforehand go through everybody. She's still with us, by the way. She's like 97 years old and lives in Delaware.
Yeah.
I met a friend of hers who told me that.
Which, okay, so here's some inside baseball for Keep It. Do you remember an old actress who we were supposed to have booked on the show and died before they could come on?
I know who you're talking about. Do they know?
No.
Can you guess?
Wait,
that
no, would have
been
it.
Amazing.
Yeah, someone said it.
Oh, somebody said it. Cicely Tyson. Yes.
She was booked for her memoir.
But, I mean,
and,
it's,
and then she booked it. To heaven.
Right to heaven.
She's having baby, she's having a lot more fun up there.
She heard a sounder and moved up north.
She took the trip bountiful.
Yeah.
There's no bounty down here.
Oh, my God.
The tariffs.
Oh, my God. By the way, if you've not had the experience of watching an extremely old person in a show, we both saw Cicely Tyson in The Trip to Bountiful, which comes up in the book in a different context because Whoopi Goldberg lost the Oscar for The Color Purple to Geraldine Page in The Trip to Bountiful, 1985. That is, of course, a play by Horton Foote. Anyway, the play still exists. Cicely Tyson performed in it. And you can just hear the earpiece going off with each line. And, like, it's really emotional lines, too. But she, like, she nailed it. She did win a Tony for it.
Of course. Yeah, I mean, that's not she's not as old as Cicely was. But, you know, but I feel like last year I saw Sarah Paulson's lover.
Oh, Holland Taylor, of
yes,
course. Yes,
on Keep It, famously.
Yes,
sorry.
Yes.
Lovely guest.
Yes.
No, but I saw her in that AOC play like called NA. It was about Nancy Pelosi and AOC. It was actually kind of good.
Oh, okay.
I will say though, the film's not the audience for it. Because you know, it's about them going back and forth, you know, and like obviously the two opposing views and like where do they get that audience? Let me tell you. They seem like they would have shot Nancy. They shot not Nancy, AOC.
Oh, really?
For like her opinions, yeah. It was a very like leaning towards Nancy's like side of view audience.
I didn't know we still did that. Okay.
Yeah. Well, it's an old theater audience in New York. You know.
Right. Also, congrats on going to that play. All right.
I go see everything, baby.
Oh yeah, no, that's true. Yeah. I have to say the number one thing we have in common. Is I can't really stump you on anything. Like you really like if somebody even mentions a movie, you go and see it immediately. Like you can't stand not knowing about something. Mm-hmm. When do you think was the moment you became like a master of just knowing all movies, all music? What was like your big moment where you had done so much?
I think it has to be with the podcast. You know? I mean, I think that we're on, you know, and we have to be ready to go.
I hate not knowing about something. Yeah. I'm like, I'm only on this planet. Like, it's a shame that Wikipedia exists because I was supposed to do that.
Yeah.
You know.
That's the only reason he read my book. He hated not knowing what was in it.
Yeah, that's right.
Was he in it?
Yeah, right. By the way.
Not this one.
Yeah, right. Coming soon, I'm sure. Yes.
All right.
That'll be the erotic nonfiction part. Yes.
I'm going to do a Madonna erotica just
ooh.
But
oh
actually,
my god, that's a good episode. What's if we do a sex book, who's in it?
Yeah, well yeah.
I'm still inviting Big Daddy Kane.
Well,
yeah.
You've seen his Instagram. You're the one who's going to do it.
Yeah. Moving on. Yes.
Moving on to commercials. We'll be right back. This podcast is sponsored by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether you're just starting out or managing a growing brand, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content to time, all in one place, all on your terms.
Now introducing Design Intelligence from Squarespace, combining two decades of industry-leading design expertise with cutting-edge AI technology to unlock your strongest creative potential. Design Intelligence empowers anyone to build a beautiful, more personalized website tailored to their unique needs and craft a bespoke digital identity to use across one's entire online presence. Squarespace Payments is the easiest way to manage your payments in one place with Squarespace. Onboarding is fast and simple. Get started in just a few clicks and start receiving payments right away. Plus, give your customers more way to pay with popular payment methods like Klarna, ACH Direct Debit, Apple Pay, Afterpay, and Clearpay.
You can connect major social and multimedia accounts to your website in a few clicks, as I did with iramadison.com. I love Squarespace.
My homepage.
You can do that as icons, direct links, or embedded feeds. Build visitor trust while updating content only where you need it, extending your brand's footprint. Sellers can also sync their product catalog directly with Instagram and Facebook and YouTube and Google to reach more customers and reduce the steps. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/keepit to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/keepit. Inspired by the nostalgic retellings in Pure Innocent Fun, on sale now. That's for the listeners who don't have the book. And our shared love for all things 2000s, Lewis and I are going to count down the 10 most monumental moments of this iconic decade. Think Britney, Y2K, and probably somehow the Carpenters, because where there's a Lewis, there's a way.
She died in 83, and yet, watch me.
Keep in mind, you know, this is monumental moments. So, you know, it's not like a
all positive necessarily.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
We did a little yin and yang. You'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to start with number 10 because this is sort of an essay question because I believe everybody in this room pertains to one of the five people here. Number 10 is the 2006 Best Actress race. Let me just read the nominees to you, and you think in your heads, in your seats, silently, which one am I? Helen Mirren in The Queen. Penelope Cruz in Volver, sophisticated. Judi Dench in Notes on a Scandal. Kate Winslet in Little Children. Or Meryl Streep in The Devil Wears Prada.
Mm.
Ira, since you enjoy pure innocent fun, play this game. Which of the five are you?
Okay, now you know Almodovar is my favorite director.
Okay.
But...
has nothing to do with the question.
I know. But I'm thinking about Volver.
Okay, yes.
You know, a little known fact about Volver, Carla Sofia Gascon is in it. In an uncredited cameo.
Okay.
Go rewatch it, I promise. She's in it. She's the body in the fridge.
Okay.
honestly, this is hard, you know, because I feel like I have some, like, Meryl Streep and Devil Wears Prada qualities, but...
You wish, go ahead.
Agreeing. But, I mean... Judi Dench and Notes on a Scandal. Like,
That's why I picked this question. Yes. Because she's bookish. Right?
Yeah, she's bookish. You know.
Snaps at people.
Yeah. Falling in love with the wrong person.
Yep.
You know. Mm-hmm. Spilling the tea.
Quite.
Yeah.
Screaming at your crush's husband.
Yes.
Yeah. In public. I am definitely Kate Winslet in Little Children because I am from the sinister suburbs. I know all about sex on a dryer.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime Jennifer Connelly's long straight hair is involved, I want to be watching that movie.
Yeah.
How does she do it?
I'm definitely her because, you know, I kept thinking about Penelope and Volver. You know, like, I am not doing, like, a little makeshift restaurant to make money.
No.
You know?
No. Of course not.
Yeah.
I think we both aspire to be kind of like Meryl, but nothing about us is aloof. Unfortunately, if we meet anybody on the street, we're like, I can name all the Grammy winners the past 25 years. And that's our, like, vaudeville.
Helen Mirren, not her.
No, yeah. She stomped a victory with that. And I think it was, I mean, like, she's good in that movie and I like that movie. Mm-hmm. But I think it was a resemblance thing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Did she need it?
She's way better in movies like The Madness of King George.
Yeah.
Or,
she didn't need it.
No.
Yeah. Who should have won?
Okay, well, I didn't know I was going to get the hardest question of my life. I'm going to go with... Actually, Meryl, as a comic performance, I think I would have given it to her.
Also, and we're still talking about it.
Yes. Also, it's a role that was definitely never meant to be that good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The level of sauce she added to it. And also just like, she wasn't my boss and it feels like she was my boss. Like, yeah. I'm still scared of her. You know?
If you want to see, you know, what the role was probably going to end up being, you know, there's the musical version that's on the West End.
Oh.
Yeah.
Real Rex Reed take of you, Michael Musto.
Yeah, not good.
All right, number 9. We're back in award shows because that's where
well,
I live.
Well, hold on, Lewis.
Yes.
I'm going to let you finish, but Beyonce had the greatest video of all time.
Yes.
Of all time. Number 9 is Kanye interrupting the VMAs.
And we had to bring it up because it was the last time he was right.
Yeah.
It is one of the best videos of all time.
Yeah.
Important to mark that moment.
Yeah. Like, I'm iffy on the song at this point. Mostly, you know, because it was for, the white people.
Yeah. We were talking about Single Ladies.
Single Ladies, yes. But the video is amazing. I love it.
And a toast to Gwen Verdon, which people don't know. It's a...
Fosse.
It's like the same choreography from Mexican Breakfast, a number that Gwen Verdon did, choreographed by Bob Fosse. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Beyoncé-fied it, and now it's what it is.
Yeah.
Also, just the grayscale of the video. Like, it's... Just like, it's like they made one color choice and it was instantly a word I honestly can't stand, iconic. Plenty of things are iconic that are bad. The Hindenburg is iconic. We can't stop using this as a compliment.
Sure.
Yeah. Also, you know what I'll say about the Kanye moment too? It was just the right amount of an out of control awards moment where the camera caught up and so everything was in frame. Mm-hmm. Nobody was really in danger, but there was a moment of, am I dreaming?
Mm-hmm.
Followed by, rewind that.
Right. And it was that perfect, you know, sort of pop culture moment where it was sort of like the slap, right? Where every celebrity got to get online after and say, I hate Kanye West. Pink, famously, Obama even.
Oh, yes.
Like, they were mad as hell.
Unfortunately, one of the funniest tweets ever. Do you know what I'm about to bring up?
What?
Judd Apatow after the slap. Yes, thank you, audience.
Someone could have died.
Yeah, he could have
killed someone.
He could have killed him.
Yeah. And just like the slap, I do wonder if people who tweeted in favor of Taylor that night, knowing what they know now about her, and having endured like the Eras tour for the past decade.
Yes.
If they believe that he was right.
Mmm. Interesting.
Yeah, I wonder.
Also, yeah, that the Eras tour turned into like Blue Man Group, just like a 25-year long.
Yeah.
We're still in it.
It's, well, and now I feel like, because, you know, I do enjoy Miss Swift.
That's your affliction, yeah.
Yeah.
Is it contagious? Should I move?
Yeah. Well, you haven't caught it.
Yeah, that's true. I like her fine. Fearless era, of course, yes.
I think she's at right the level of, like, celebrity again where I need her to be. You know, apparently she's been at the games.
Right.
And they're going to the Super Bowl. I have no idea what's going on there.
No.
There are people who watch football who are seeing her every week, but not I.
I feel like certain mysteries of the universe will be revealed to me when I die. And if someone told me, like when I'm at the pearly gates, actually every football game you watch, we change the rules totally every time. Would totally believe it. I'm like, good work. I was not even 1% on you.
We created this list, by the way, by, you know, merging, like, because we both made our top tens, you
yes.
know, and one of mine that did not make it was around the same, you know, theme involving Beyonce. I put the Crazy in Love video.
The video.
Yeah.
Yes.
The video.
I like
the moment.
Song too. I feel like I would, as her 2000s moment, if I'm going on song alone, I would maybe go Deja Vu.
Okay. Number eight.
Anytime in history this is applied as a general feeling, a prevailing gestalt, I'm not here to make friends.
Yes.
A 2000s phenomenon of reality TV.
Yes.
Because, by the way, I believe them. Anyone on AMTM who's like, oh, like these people aren't people to me, I'm just here to win.
Mm-hmm.
Sociopaths came to the fore in such a fun way.
Which is so weird because now I would buy that people do go on reality shows to make friends.
Right.
Yeah.
As you know, we're in a pandemic of loneliness.
Yeah.
Right.
But no, I feel you, when you think about that, you think of Survivor, you think of Project Runway.
Some Project Runway, which I think is the greatest reality show of the 2000s. I always say, again, people who would be one character on The Real World, the gay guy who makes those comments and can, you know, sew a jumpsuit, that would always be one person on any show before, and then suddenly it was nine people on this show. It was like a Hydra formed from that one guy.
Well, so one of the takes that Chuck Stillgreenwood was from Sex, Drugs, and CocoaPuffs was a hatred of The Real World just because the first couple seasons were real people interacting, right?
Sure.
And then people sort of realized once you distill your personality to one fact, yes, one thing about you, that's how you were successful in that show. And that people then watching the show started acting that way.
Right. Oh, just in real life, too.
Yeah, just in real life, like, I'm the activist. I'm the whore.
This
know?
Is very Queen of Jordan, 30 Rock. They really distilled something there.
And you meet people like that, you know?
Oh, totally. No,
and then it transferred to, like, Housewives.
Right, which you fucking watch.
Yeah. Anyway. Someone asked me, thank you. Someone asked
if you guys support him a little bit. I mean, just not on the go ahead.
Someone asked
I'm like Adele. We can't, our brains can't handle it.
Someone asked me, we got a tour set. They said, what's it going to take to get Lewis to watch Housewives?
I'm too busy watching the arts. Sorry,
supermarket
I'm at the
suite.
And some of that too. Also, I guess this wouldn't really pertain to American Idol, but I want to say something about American Idol.
There are some
here.
People there not to make friends.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
But like they would never put the unfriendliness on camera, really.
Yeah.
You know, American Idol, that we had that huge of an institution to make 16-year-olds learn the songs of Burt Bacharach.
Mm-hmm.
Who was whose idea was that? And then it was like huge. And then we like would watch like somebody dressed like Avril Lavigne singing "Anyone Who Had a Heart." It's so insane. Yeah. The amount of belly jewelry at the beginning. Ryan Starr, if you're here, we speak your name.
But that is also something that I touch on, just the idea that we had so many cultural touchstones that introduced us to things that we didn't care about or didn't know about.
Yes.
You know? Like, you were forced to learn Burt Bacharach songs because you were watching American Idol. If you were watching MTV to see, you know, the Boy Is Mine video, you had to watch a bunch of other things. There are, well, a friend of mine, like, was a DJ, played Prodigy's like "Smack My Bitch Up" at a party recently, and someone was like, "What
amazing
is
video.
This?"
Yeah.
Meanwhile, we saw it on MTV all the time, and then with like pop up video or something, we were always constantly being told this was like a band video, you know?
Right. Yes. And then they would play banned videos. It was such. It was tricking us.
Yeah. It's like when your book gets banned, and then you just go on talk shows, and you're like, "My book is banned," you know, in
right.
Albuquerque or, you know, Alabama City. And
yeah, but, you know, cities.
But, and then the price goes up. What I'm saying is, my book has been banned.
Okay. Noted.
Yeah. Actually, I saw a new executive order that Trump signed that said,
"Oh no,
Ira's book, if you're in a set file, and is banned.
Not even your last name.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's banned. So everyone should, like, you know, go out and get it.
Right. Oh, that's so important.
Yeah.
I love when you speak to the moment.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
I think number seven, I'm talking about a specific thing that I find so hilarious now that I think we did find genuinely insulting at the time, which is not Brokeback Mountain, which we love, but celebrities calling Jake and Heath brave for being in the movie. And I am talking about you, Madonna. Madonna, who is like on a 20-year LGBT like pride float career, being like, "Woof, can you believe he like undid his jeans for that other guy? Woof, zany."
Yeah.
First of all, it's like off camera, basically. There's like not much like actual gay sex in the movie.
Yeah, well, you know, they were being publicly, you know, perceived as gay, you know, and that, like, that's a hard thing to do, you know.
Oh,
like, she's friends with Baz Luhrmann,
right? Yes, tough.
Some of you got that. No.
A movie that I actually now find a little bit underrated, even though people defend it as what should have won the Best Picture over Crash that year, of course. But it's one of the few very mainstream, meaning like epic movies, that to me is poetic. I just like Nomadland had a little bit of that in it for me. And I feel like film people hate Nomadland now. Like, don't like it as an Oscars win.
Really?
Yeah. Yay or nay on Nomadland? Yeah. Thank you. Good. I thought it was like the Oscars. Oh, have some taste.
Yeah, but yeah. You still order from Amazon.
You didn't learn the lesson of Nomadland.
Yeah. They killed her.
Were there lessons in that movie?
Did she die?
I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know.
Nice lady.
Yeah. A lot happened in that movie. She was like in an RV.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. The Mystery Machine.
You know what I do think is slay about Frances McDormand. Mm. She only wins the Oscar when it's a lead. Mm. She won for Fargo,
yeah.
Nomadland, and that other movie we hate, Three Billboards.
Yeah.
But then all her supporting ones, she's like, you know, give it to Marsha Gay Harden. She's like, I don't want that shit.
Should we like reevaluate Three Billboards?
Oh, I guess. Do people love it?
Yeah. See? Who loves it?
Yeah.
White people in the front.
It was so advertised as like, you won't believe the crazy twists. And then the crazy twists were, oh,
racism?
That guy's kind of racist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I like Martin McDonagh a lot.
I love Banshees of Inisherin.
Yeah.
By the way, what are we doing with Carrie Condon?
Mm.
Yeah. Gorgeous girl, loved her in that movie.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I'm going to rewatch it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we could introduce a little rewatch segment on our show.
Yeah.
Not that we aren't just rewatching shit all the time anyway.
Yeah.
It would be a useful use of our time for once.
Number six, Brangelina. Who? Did someone boo?
Well, I kind of agree with that.
Take your smart water and get out. We are not Brad and Jennifer Aniston, okay? As Nicki Minaj said, come on, bitch, you see where Brad at.
Yeah. I assume they were booing the Brad component.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Sure, yeah.
But I do have to say, the mystique of Brangelina was so large that it took us 15 extra years to realize Angelina has been in two good movies.
Yeah. It's unfortunate, but I think, that's iconic.
Yes.
Real definition of the word. That's like, she is, that's when you could make stars, you know, based on being hot, being right. compelling
magazine
on screen,
oversized
magazine covers,
sunglasses.
A relationship, yes.
yeah.
you know? It did not happen for Ana de Armas.
No,
right?
That's true.
So you can't manufacture stardom from a relationship anymore.
Oh, God, that really is depressing or good. Thanks.
Yeah. Like, this was all we were talking about.
Right. I was a little sad she fell out of the Oscars conversation this year, even though
the
movie Maria was her walking around.
Yeah.
She's like, I used to be a good singer. Sad. Let me lip sync for you.
She'll get the Oscar for Salt, too.
Oh, God. Unfortunately, you have to write that.
Yeah. No, I've already decided that I'm going to be the tech guy.
Oh.
You know, very...
you're in Salt, too.
Yeah. Very, well, I just got to be. You know, the streets are asking for it.
Okay. You're jumping from the cameo on that show, You, to star of an Angelina Jolie thriller.
I think I am like the Zosia Mamet in Madam Web.
Oh.
To
her primary credit. Yeah.
To Angelina, you know, rushing around. Get it?
Yes. I have to give Madam Web credit. That like holds the record for most sullen actresses in one movie, and
yeah.
we rarely put them together.
Yeah.
Because you had Dakota Johnson.
Adam Scott.
Oh, and him, yes. What a lady. He is such an REM stan.
Yeah.
Really, like some gay cred for him. He's been on the podcast. Okay, anyway. Dakota Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Zosia Mamet.
Yeah.
Who else? There's two other girls.
Yeah.
Sydney Sweeney. Oh, my God. Remember her?
Yeah. yeah.
And then she was in that movie, Anyone About You, in a place, or Anyone But You, in a place called Sydney.
Yeah.
Did they do that on purpose? Were they being cute with us?
And then she was in the Nun movie.
I hated that movie.
Oh, yeah. But it was a gag, though.
Right, but it was like, right, I've seen Rosemary's Baby. Go ahead.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that... what were we talking about?
I was just saying, I'm glad we put all the sullen actresses
yeah.
together and
oh,
Angelina.
Yeah, okay, yeah, Salt 2. So, yes. I'm imagining she's doing all this shit, and I'm like, girl, you got to get out of this building. You know, like that person in the movie.
Oh,
that,
I got
yeah.
it.
So more active, you know, than that. But no, actually, you know, probably like Simon Pegg in the Mission movies, giving that to her. And then at the end, I'm in the helicopter that like picks her up.
I love that sensation of an actor they added in reshoots.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go that way, Angelina.
Okay, what do you think? You know what? I'm going to. What do you think her definitive movie role is?
Angelina Jolie. Well, James Mangold is having a renaissance right now, thanks to A Complete Unknown. And I have to say that I think his best work is still Girl Interrupted.
Exactly.
But maybe that's just because I have a thing for Alison Bechdelia.
You know, I'm going to say a very underrated film of hers, speaking of someone else who's having a renaissance. I don't think the girls have seen Those Who Wish Me Dead.
I haven't seen it.
And they need to, because you know who did that movie? Taylor Sheridan.
Oh.
Our king of Lioness, Yellowstone, Landman.
No, when you said our king.
Our king.
It better have been the royal we.
Okay, first of all, raise your hand if you've seen Yellowstone. It's Boston. Y'all don't watch Yellowstone? Okay,
fine.
You hate the West.
He did...
Okay, Lioness. Okay, Nicole Kidman. Fake Nicole Kidman stands here.
Yeah. He did Wind River, which was good.
Wind River, yeah. Like, he's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he's my new Ryan Murphy.
Okay.
I'm tired of supporting Ryan.
Yeah.
You know?
Though
but
I still think he should do, if there's a Madonna biopic, I think he should do it. Which is I don't know about unpopular opinion, but he's got gay stan energy. That's what makes me nervous about him. You know he secretly knows everything.
Yeah. I'm scared. She's besties with him. Like, Baz Luhrmann like might direct it.
I wouldn't hate that either.
I loved Elvis.
I actually think he's not made a single good movie, but okay.
All right. Well, I read about Moulin Rouge in the book. Which I love.
Mm.
Anyway, when we're back, the rest of the 2000s.
Oh.
Keep It is brought to you by Acorns. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing so your money has a chance to grow for you, your kids, and your retirement. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that fits you and your money goals. You don't need to be rich. Acorns lets you invest with the spare money you've got right now. You can start with $5 or even just your spare change, which should add up to $5 if you've got some change lying around, I'm just saying. In just 5 minutes, you can start your Acorns account and get small, simple steps to get you and your money on track. Acorns does the hard part so you can give your money a chance to grow.
Every time I'm playing Monopoly, I am always thinking I should invest like Uncle Pennybags, but I don't know how to do it. And then once I got Acorns, it just invests the money for me. And so I love Acorns.
I always was blown away. His name is Rich Uncle Pennybags. And I was like, is that a pun? Is his name Rich? And then Uncle's his middle name? We'll never know. I find him elusive.
Well, head to acorns.com/keepit or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/keepit. We are back with the 2000s.
All right.
They love the 2000s.
I guess. Okay, we're going to start with one that, I don't know about makes my skin crawl. I just feel bad about it.
Mm.
Ashley Simpson on SNL.
Mm. Doing the jig.
Well, yeah.
Introduced by Jude Law.
And then they just went right to commercial. That is one of just the craziest, strangest SNL moments ever. Mm-hmm. Also, I have to say, I'm sad because the album that came afterwards, I thought was better, which was called, of course, I Am Me.
Great album. Three
because
great
it was
albums.
Sad.
To be honest.
I don't remember.
Bittersweet World is great.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I saw her in Chicago at the Hollywood Bowl, where she did well and was performing opposite Drew Carey, who was, of course, in it.
Yeah.
He's actually great on The Price is Right.
You know what's so funny, too? It's that I was rewatching this clip of Ashley Simpson, because you remember she had her TV show.
Oh, of course. I'm a human being.
Yeah. The better TV show, too.
Yes.
To Jessica Simpson's, which only had the...
The tuna
moment,
yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. Because, like, no one was, like, really, like, popping off of that show.
No.
And in Milwaukee, I worked at Summerfest, where they did a joint tour at one point, Jessica and Nick Lachey, the Newlyweds tour.
Yes.
They sang both of their songs. but the songs that they both have, not, like, two songs. Don't be rude. But I'm about to be rude. So it's ticketed like inside the amphitheater, and like you have to have an extra ticket to like get in. You can't just getting in the Summerfest doesn't mean you can get in.
Yeah,
it was not packed.
Oh,
and we were told if anybody comes up, just let them come in.
Like the goblins walking up and stuff.
Yeah,
that is just too bad.
Yeah, but Ashley, on the other hand, my girl, and in the clip, she's being told by like her manager or whatever, or the label, that they want her to be more edgy. And they say, we need you to be more edgy like Hillary Duff.
No way.
She's like, I don't want to be Hillary Duff. But I'm like, when was Hillary Duff edgy? And this, by the way, this is pre the Gossip Girl threesome.
Right. And pre even like her hard dance pop tour, that song Stranger, that
yeah.
was like 2008. What on earth did she do that was edgy?
When she put the bindi on?
Yeah.
a song called Gypsy Woman, too.
Oh, my
God. She was carrying on that album.
Wait,
it's great.
There should be a Wikipedia pop stars who tried a bindi. Because you know I'm thinking of Gwen Stefani.
I'm thinking of Selena Gomez, Come and Get It at that NFL halftime show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's more.
Probably.
Madonna's probably done it 7 times.
Mm. But I was like a big Ashley Simpson stan, you know?
Also, I just remember it was like almost unacceptable to not be a fan for a while. She was very like this generational, like if you were 18 then, she tapped into angst even in a way better than Avril did. I can't explain it to people. It was, I mean, I think the deal is all of the singles were really good.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, where is Kira DioGuardi? The songwriter of Pieces of Me. And Walk Away by Kelly Clarkson. Yes, please.
Yeah.
I think about her on American Idol all the time where she had to replace Paula Abdul, and they were like, we want someone more professional seeming, who, whatever, it seems like she's on her feet. And then they kicked off Paula, and they said, could you be a little crazier?
Paula was just here for the music.
Right. Oh, yeah. Such a good song. Yeah. Such a good song.
Original Kylie demo.
I know.
Yeah,
yes.
I listen to it on SoundCloud every other week. I have one last thing to say about the SNL. I think that the curse that came out of the jig was contagious. Because, Jude Law.
Yes.
Hosts that episode.
Correct.
You know what happened to him next year?
Go ahead.
That was the apologizing for having the affair with the nanny.
Oh. You believe it began with the literal jig she did.
Yeah, it's like Final Destination. It follows the jig. It's followed so many celebrities. Who's it on now? Carla Sofia Gascon.
Oh. In your opinion, the jig is never up.
No.
No.
Baby, and you've seen the tweet. She was getting jiggy with it. Okay, we're
apologies,
moving on.
Apologies. All right, we're back in award shows.
Yeah, number four is, we could just pick one, so it's just Britney at the VMAs.
Right. And I do want to throw in Gaga Paparazzi at this point, too.
I said Britney at the VMAs.
Okay, moving on.
Gaga doing Paparazzi was number nine, because if you recall, the I'm Gonna Let You Finish was
same
when
award
Paparazzi
show.
Debuted. Yeah.
All right, that's fair. Show. You argued your way out of that eloquently, for once.
So we've got, first of all, 2000. The Oops, I Did It Again.
Yes.
That is the stripping. Beautiful.
Well, again, one of my favorite award show outfits of all time. I always say this is an outfit reflective of the strife of the year 2000. Because she is in a nude bodysuit, but it is boot cut. So the illusion disturbs the eye.
Yeah.
It's sort of a Minotaur vibe by the end.
You rewatch that performance and you're sort of the choreography in the early 2000s was something.
It was very jock jams.
Yeah.
Just a lot of slamming
moving
arms.
Yeah. That.
Very 4-hour energy.
Yeah. Then 2001, Slave for You. The snake, the look.
Anybody in PETA? No? Okay.
Banana's still alive.
Yeah.
Baby, he's living it up.
Oh, you think so?
John Lovett owns him.
Oh, yeah? Oh. It's like a Dr. Doolittle situation over there, too. Or it's like Neverland Ranch. There's baboons on roller coasters.
The 2003... Me Against the Music with Madonna.
Well, let me tell you something. I remember being a Madonna stan in that year and every other year.
Yeah.
And I want you to know I'm in physical pain from it. It's a chronic illness. But at the time, I thought that was the lowest thing Madonna had ever done. I remember thinking
at the time.
So, I know, right? Little did I know every year that would pass. Only Nicki Minaj fans know this strife. Only Nicki Minaj fans. But it was the explanation afterwards I found so dumb. She was like, it was about passing on my energy to them. Kabbalah just doesn't take with me. You know what I'm saying?
The worst thing about that was that the cameraman had to focus on Justin Timberlake's reaction to it. So
right.
We didn't even see the Christina part.
No. And she was in her, I have the blackest hair ever possible.
Yeah.
It, dipped into tar and a sewer.
Her, full-blood Boricua level.
Yes.
Yes. If you recall, Infatuation.
Yes. Oh, of course.
Yeah, she was leaning into Latina.
Yes, of course.
Even though, Mi Reflejo, she learned the lyrics phonetically.
Did she really?
She speaks less Spanish than J-Lo.
Oh. That's a world record for the least Spanish.
Yeah. She couldn't even kiss the Spider-Woman.
It would repel her.
Yeah. But also, one of the things that you had picked, too, that didn't make the list was Madonna's Confessions on a Dance Floor, which was mega for, homosexuals in the 2005.
Right. Well, I always say that Madonna's phases have a tendency to be to look more amazing in retrospect, because you're always kind of worried every time she picks a new thing that you're stuck with it forever.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, oh God, is just Madame X who she is now? And then 5 years later when she's not wearing the eye patch anymore, you're like, oh, that was a fun Halloween costume.
I wouldn't mind if M. Dollar came back.
I always call her rapper actress Madonna. Yes.
Oh my God. Wait, I did this at, I was discussing this at an afters recently. You remember the hard candy gyms?
Yes. Oh, but she launched everywhere and they promptly, like Spirit Halloween stores stay open longer than this.
Yeah. Okay. So she opened Hard Candy Fitness, which was a co-venture with the owners of 24 Hour Fitness. And he had centers in Berlin. There were 8 of them there. Mexico City, Moscow, Rome, Santiago, St. Petersburg, and Sydney. Now, some of them are still around.
Really?
The 2 in Milan were rebranded in 2018.
Okay.
The 1 in Fürth, Germany, is still open.
Oh, all right. The candy remains hard.
Yeah. The 1 in Toronto, closed. Rome, still open.
Slay.
Berlin, closed in 2016. Hillary lost, and they said,
you're right.
It's over. They're expecting Trump to go there and work out. Rome is still open.
Okay.
There's another one in Rome.
Also, the choice is, it's like we wanted Carmen Sandiego to have crazy quads.
Yeah. There's one open in Sydney.
Which I've never been to. That's sort of my next big venture. I hope so.
Yeah. Chile, that rebranded in 2019.
Are you really going through all of them?
There's only 3 more.
Okay.
The ones in Moscow and St. Petersburg closed in 2017 and 2018. And then the Mexico City one was rebranded in 2019. So there are 3 still around.
Okay. I still have my shot.
Yeah.
A treadmill or
I
whatever.
I mean, you haven't been to one. I think, like, as a Madonna stan, you got to go.
I don't hate that for me. Yeah. All right. All right. So you'll all pay for that? Okay, great. All right. So Britney at the VMAs.
3. It's very you. This is about to be a fight between
okay,
us.
Okay, yes. We're between 2 different Oscar speeches. We're going to fight and pick the better of them. You're going with Halle Berry for Monsters Ball.
Yes. Her win is my pick for number 3.
Okay.
Because she was the first black woman to win
a Best Actress,
Best Actress Oscar.
And so many have won since then. I'm kidding. And mine is Marion Cotillard for La Vie en Rose, where she literally thanked life and love.
Thank you, life. Thank you, love.
Imagine being so reduced to your id that, like, nouns and verbs are just, like, in the wrong order. Mm-hmm. You also speak French, so this is crazy,
okay,
that you have to speak in front of everybody. And okay, then you kind of garble together a sentence, and it's very touching. And then only a few years later, you think 9/11 is fake.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So con is that she didn't thank the 9/11 first responders.
Right. Yes. But otherwise, the rare, like, jubilant award show speech where it reminds you why you actually care about award shows beyond memorizing Wikipedias as I do.
Okay. But Halle Berry's, first of all, is historic for 2 reasons.
Okay.
Obviously, her historic win, and then the Adrian Brody kiss.
Which
is gross, but, like, we remember it's history. And also, he's nominated again this year. Like, people still remember that. The only people who remember Marion Cotillard's speech are you and your friends who watch it on YouTube at 4 a.m.
They're lovely people. Christians. I mean, I will certainly say that Halle's is more important. Interesting movie, by the way.
Yeah.
She's also kind of between lead and supporting.
Actually, you know what? A black Angelina Jolie, not a lot of good movies.
Right.
But although, actually, maybe that's not true. BAPS, great. John Wick 3,
but the
great
fact that he went to BAPS first, you know what I'm saying?
What's wrong with BAPS?
As her best movie.
Oh, well, you know, you wouldn't understand.
Okay.
It's not for you.
Okay. I'll just stick to watching Swordfish or whatever. Okay, now number 2. This is the crux of your book, so I'll leave this monologue to you, but we're talking
about Tom
Cruise on the couch.
Yeah.
Because, by the way, psychiatry, I just have never really bought it. You know what I mean? Where do they get the nerve?
That what's so exciting about it, and, like, rewatching it, too, is there's just so many spinning pieces in this. Because, obviously, Oprah, on her show, is... the fans, like, they're ecstatic. Like you think you're happy to see us.
Right.
Baby, they were heart attacks.
Right.
You know, like the EMTs were on site
right.
for an Oprah audience. Like, I went once in Chicago when I was in college, and it was terrifying.
No. Also, it's like Beatlemania, that's not that scary because it's happening at, like, 8 p.m.
That was
this
Black
is
Friday
9 a.m.
in
Chicago.
The morning, okay?
Yes, yes.
They
yeah.
would stomp over you to get the chance to win a free car.
Yeah, right. And also, a car, they would stomp up to win a free fucking bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's that audience. But Tom Cruise comes out, and they are whipped up even more.
Yeah.
And then Tom is, first of all, I mentioned in the book, this. I make an aside about Tom, you know, because I think that he tries to replicate what humans are.
Right.
Sort of like a robot.
As you and I do, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's a weird moment where he notices a man in the audience, like, there to see him, like, in the Oprah audience, and he, like can't understand gay, you know? So he's, like, he fritzes for a moment and, like, makes a joke, like, about the fact that, why is there a man here, you know?
Wow. Like, he has no idea.
He thinks it's just, like, because it's been women adorning him, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, Scientology, you know, like, the church, like, they shoot someone if they're a faggot coming up to say
right.
hi.
Coming up to the blue building right from the top window.
Yeah. Yeah, you all do that here, right? don't say, oh, it happened this morning during tech. There's that, and then he brings out Katie.
Right, because he's shopping the romance.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's just like, he's, Katie Holmes, and it's weird, you know?
It's just like, I've never had someone audition a relationship for me before.
Yeah.
It really felt like he's like, don't you see it? Look at all this electric energy between me and this television star.
And they are screaming for this relationship, you
yeah.
know? I can't think of, like, anyone that we would all, well, maybe Zendaya and Tom.
Sure.
I would be screaming for them, you know?
But it's interesting how low-key they kind of keep that thing.
Yeah.
They actually have some mystique, which is the thing lost from celebrity entirely nowadays.
Yeah. I love her.
Okay, we're at the top of the list. Can
next.
Anyone guess
Oh yeah. Can
what
anyone
number
guess
one
what
is?
Number one is? 9/11?
The theme
wow.
of the episode.
You all really hate New York.
I did hear the correct answer.
I did
Janet,
hear the correct answer. Janet Jackson Nipplegate.
First of all, congratulations. Let's just buoy this moment with also feedback by Janet Jackson.
Yeah.
Combine
DJ.
Those.
We don't have the song cue.
Right.
But feedback is like one of the like number one songs where I'm angry at straight people.
Right.
Because we love songs, obviously, but you need straight people to get to the top of the charts.
Yes.
You know, and the feedback just did not get to the top.
No, that would be a good book we could work on. Reasons We're Mad at Straight People.
Yeah. Yeah.
Figure that out. Okay, because my favorite thing about Nipplegate is that the faking afterwards that there was no plan, when the lyric of the song is, I'm going to have you naked by the end of this song,
mm-hmm.
and then she's naked, it follows. The dramaturgy is there. It
yeah.
makes sense logically. And then later they had to lie about it. And also just the idea that they would ever kind of necessarily collaborate. Like those two people were on the same level once upon a time because, as you know, we make mistakes.
Yeah. Although, Justified?
Ooh.
Great album.
Well, does that have Senorita?
Yeah.
Oh, unfortunately.
Love Your
yes.
Body?
Yes.
Take Me Now?
Oof.
Parentheses, and she said,
I heard a gay man mutter no at like
all
base
right.
level. You were like the guy in Rockapella who says,
Cry Me a River.
That was too dicey. It was too mean to her.
No, the album slap, sorry. And then Future Sex Love Sounds is even better.
But by the way, do we think he called it that because he was copying Speakerbox The Love Below and didn't understand that that was two albums?
Maybe.
Yeah, that's always been my theory about that.
Yeah. And honestly, I like the 2020 experience too. Yeah.
So what don't you like by him?
Well.
The Love Guru?
Not much.
Yeah. Even his Super Bowl was like okay.
Yeah, it was okay.
Yeah.
That Man of the Woods. I don't
right.
like that.
That wasn't good. That
yeah.
wasn't good.
Although, there are a couple really good songs.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's our list.
Yeah.
Hope you enjoyed that.
Were there any, oh, you know, we also had, also listed some things that were the worst.
Oh, did we?
I did.
Okay, go ahead.
You know, three of them.
All right, go ahead.
Freedom fries.
Oh, I guess that is. Oh.
Very, very American, though.
Yes.
You know?
Sarah Palin, which we don't even need to get into.
Yeah.
And then, I want to say, of course, that Aaliyah's death is horrible on a different level. But the unavailability of certain Aaliyah songs afterwards remains ridiculous.
Yeah, they're there now.
All of them? Like everything? Even the entire I Care For You album?
It's there.
It took way too long.
Yes. It is there. That was my 9/11.
Oh, okay.
And it happened before, so I was already grieving.
I'm sorry to say, do you think if she were with us now, she would be the star, the Zoe Saldana role in Emilia Perez? She kind of wanted to be more of an actress, yeah. I thought, than a singer.
You know, and also, Carla Sofia Gascon has a tweet. She was like, ugh, the plane should have gone down quicker. She's really evil.
I know, it's too bad.
No, I Care For You is streaming, and I do want to say, like, it has one of my favorite goofy Aaliyah songs on it, which is called Erica Kane.
Oh.
Which is obviously a reference to the Susan Lucci character, but... People, like, it talks about, you know, like, she walks through the streets, and, you know, like, all the men are addicted to her. Took me forever to realize Erica Kane, cocaine.
Oh.
That's what they used to call it, you know, on the streets.
Okay. Absolutely bring that back.
Yeah. You doing that, Erica?
Yeah.
You got that, Erica Kane?
I would get even more indirect with the references. Be like, I just lost. I would love some 19 Emmy losses or whatever. Yeah. You know, be real abstract about it.
Lewis, I had a great time in Pine Valley last
night. Yeah, that's right. Yes, yeah.
All right, when we are back, our favorite segment of the episode.
It's Keep It. Yeah.
And we're back. We're going to do a special Boston edition of Keep It.
Yes.
Lewis said he has a Boston Keep It. And then we're also going to invite the audience to share their Keep It.
Right. I'm a little afraid. This is a rowdy crowd.
Yeah. Lewis, what's yours?
Okay, mine is local in that I went to a gym this morning, and they usually start
out... Say the name of the gym.
To say, it's a boot camp of sorts.
Whose boot camp is it?
Baby, I haven't seen a single discount yet, so they can just wait. This has never happened to me before. I get there. There's a lovely girl running the class who, like almost every woman who works there, has exactly Mila Kunis energy. Starts the music. The first song is... Country music? A male vocalist?
Wait.
Picture me.
Was it Post?
Say what?
Was it Post Malone?
No.
Oh, disgusting.
It was giving Loggins and Messina. It was giving people named like Alan, Jackson, Keith, etc. And I want to be clear, it was not Shania. It was not, I learned nothing about the woman in me that day. There's something motivational about the music. Like, you know, it's, I don't want to call it a safe place, but when you're around like a bunch of people leaping around, like it almost has to be a lady vocalist. Otherwise, how do I know my quad should get involved? You know what I'm saying? It was just so unsettling, and no one would ever do that in LA. In fact, half of, I don't know if you know this, in LA, almost all the fitness world is run by Australians.
Yeah.
So when, if you're taking a class, you are definitely hearing, if not Olivia Newton-John, all of Kylie Minogue.
Mm.
Like as in the Iliad length of her career. Yeah.
Mm. Now, what is it like doing hip thrusts to Tears on My Pillow?
Oh my God, you're speaking of, there's an Australian guy who's obsessed with Taylor Swift and always plays her music. Guys,
I met Olivia Newton-John in Greece.
Oh, that Tears on My Pillow.
Teardrops on My Guitar.
There's also, Tears on My Pillow, Kylie Minogue.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, he hasn't done that.
Oh, you mean John.
Huh?
My friend John Mason. He's obsessed with Taylor Swift.
No.
He's Australian.
No,
there's more of them?
Can you believe there are over 3 Taylor Swift fans in LA.
That's how you sold so many tickets.
Right.
Yeah.
Ira, what is your Keep It?
My Keep It, it's more of like a Keep It Up.
Okay. Throwback.
I went to buy some, you know, some Camels.
Okay.
The adults know what that is.
Like, smoking?
Kids
yeah.
don't smoke. I was carded.
What kind of card and for what?
My ID.
Wow.
Yeah.
What would you describe the electric jolt going through your body? What was that like?
Sir, I'll show it to you. Now, the sign did say we card everyone who enters. You have to be over 21 to purchase anything from the spoke shop around the corner. But I choose to believe he's, you know, saw my joie de vivre.
Oh, sure. He's like, you don't. You certainly haven't been smoking for 20 straight years.
Yeah.
Yeah. You certainly haven't been smoking like Gypsy Rose Lee.
I was even wanting more. Anyway, those are our keep its.
Yes. We'd love to open it up to our lovely crowd.
Yeah.
If anybody has anything.
Oh, wait. There's a spotlight on you, Jennifer Hudson. Get it, the song. Oh, they just turned on the light. Sorry. Okay. Hi, you got someone.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Long-time listener.
Thank you. What's your name?
My name's Dan. Very basically, I'm going to say that I keep it to Blake Lively. Because
interesting.
Let's hear him out.
Yeah. And then, you know what?
Let's hear him out.
I'm not even taking a side. I'm just saying I'm getting so sick of the damn news. Blake Lively, Justin Balgody, who gives a fuck? And now we're getting on to Simple Truth 2.
It's like a really simple like, truth or favor.
Will they, won't they with fucking Anna Kendrick? So it's like every damn day TMZ is Blake Lively, this, that, and the other thing, and I'm just sick of hearing her name.
Well, I will say, we weirdly haven't talked a lot about that whole situation because it is extremely illegible to me. Like, yeah. what is real?
This
what are
call,
we talking
this isn't
about?
Call her daddy.
Yeah, right.
I will say, I was interested recently because I guess I found out that Taylor's been pulled into it now.
Like she submitted a version of the script and Taylor jumped in to like support that version of the script or something.
Yeah, I mean, Taylor supporting a script.
Right. Yeah, did she read The Giver?
What I feel is that, because I was scrolling through Instagram and I saw, just because the algorithm will give you things from months ago.
Yeah.
For some reason, Reels is out of control. But I was seeing like old clips of Blake on the press tour for It Ends With Us.
Oh.
And I was like, honestly, work, girl, because the way that she has, you know, spun like the Justin stuff in the lawsuit is, you know, like it damaged my hair care product, right? It's like, we remember you walking on the carpet with that nasty dry hair trying to sell a hair care line.
Right.
Like that. Justin had nothing to do with that. The girl saw the hair. It's crazy, but you know what? Go ahead.
I'm one of the few gay people who thinks a simple favor is only okay. There's too many storylines in it.
Well, what?
It goes to too many like witnesses before it gets to the end or whatever.
Yeah, that's how you solve a murder.
Okay, girl. Girl, like Jean Smart is in it for 5 seconds. She's like, I was in my attic. I don't know what happened. Like, wait, you can cut that scene.
You want to cut Jean Smart from
that's
a film?
That's right. I want her to have fewer opportunities. I said it.
All right, Hannah Ann Bonder. Who's next?
Who's next? Over here?
Yeah.
Hi, love you both. My name is Brenda.
And hi, Brenda.
I also have a keep it up to our girl SMG announcing the Buffy reboot this week.
Oh my God, yes.
So.
I love her attitude about it when she's like, we're only doing it if it's going to be good.
Yeah.
Don't anybody get any ideas? It's going to be like a 60 on Metacritic.
She had to put that statement out, though, because historically she has only been in bad things since Buffy.
Yeah. Was that show The Ringer good or Thing? Movie?
Well, except Ringer.
See?
No The in it.
Okay,
Ringer.
What
she played
the,
twins.
What was the thing she was in with Robin Williams, that TV show?
Oh, that was bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were in an office.
Yeah.
Yes, over here.
Yeah. Hi.
Love the glasses. 1 second. It's happening.
We got to get you the mic. Also, shout out to the Cowboy Carter sweater next to you.
All right.
Hi, you guys.
Hi.
My name is Jamie, and I would like to say keep it to there's not enough seasons of Q-Force.
Oh.
I love that show. And the people the full cut of the hit song Wolves on the River, please.
Yes.
Just to be clear, Q-Force was on Quibi.
That was Netflix.
Wait, what?
I wrote the
Q Force has Matt Rogers in it, and you wrote for it.
Yes, yes. I wrote the Nikki Fresh show on Quibi.
Yes, that's right. Yes, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, we needed more seasons of Q Force.
I mean, all the characters are really funny.
Those residuals are dwindling.
Oh.
Yeah.
Also,
I hear about Q Force all the time. People loved it. So,
It was a funny show. Also, like, really gay.
Yeah.
You know, didn't know Netflix had it in it. Aside from, of course, Emilia Perez starring Carla Sofia Gascon. See how much fun? How much fun?
No.
Hi, we'll I'm Charlie.
Yeah.
So my keep it relates to somebody who I adore, but I would like to say keep it to Rihanna announcing her musical return in the form of the Smurf soundtrack.
No.
Let Megan Trainor get that second call.
Yeah, she's in the new Smurfs.
She's clearly in her state of being rich and unbothered. People need to stop begging her to work. CC Cameron Diaz.
Wow.
Okay, well, first of all, I don't know if you've been following the news, but I would not call Rihanna unbothered lately. She is at the courthouse.
Right.
With ASAP. So let her do that. But also, yeah, I saw it. It's like another Smurf. Remember when Britney did that?
Right. So it's a song she's doing for the Smurfs?
I think it's a song, but she's playing a Smurf too. Smurfette.
Rihanna, you're alive one time.
Also, were the Smurfs ever cool?
I will say that I enjoyed the idea of Smurfette and Gargamel and the cat Asriel.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, they really just were Belgian things that were easy to draw. Yeah.
Gargamel, he's on a list, right?
Yeah, no, I'm worried about that.
Yeah.
My Belgian king is Mr. Tintin.
Oh, I love Tintin. I love Tintin.
How about we do an adventure and also I'm Baldy?
Yes. Tintin was like the answer to like making colonialism sexy and youthful.
Right. Perfect color shirt on him.
Love
too.
Love him. Yeah. That's great. Underrated Spielberg movie.
There's like that's one of those movies that has like four good scenes.
Yeah.
Because it's the set piece scenes are great.
I said underrated Spielberg film, and you're like four good scenes.
Marathon Man, another one like that. Okay. Hi over there in the absolutely goop-like sweater.
Yeah.
My keep it is to Lewis.
I'm right here.
Where's the letterbox?
I need it.
I don't care about the star rating.
Oh, okay. You heard.
Yeah. Yes. I don't even rate them anymore.
I will say this about letterbox. Everybody is really good at it. Like everybody has like just the right tweet. I don't know. Like it's like everybody's going to make the same jokes about the movies in a way. I don't feel that obligated to do it. That's
well, you don't have to make jokes though. Some people just write like their genuine thoughts on the movie.
Oh, imagine anything worse. Oh, I'm sickened. You know what? It will happen eventually, but it's just when I start an undertaking, I have to really do it, and I don't want to start it and stop it. So one of these days it will happen. Oh, I love being sassed. Yeah.
One more question.
Okay. She seems stern.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hi.
Oh, I was wrong.
Huge fan. I've been listening since there was like three of you.
Oh, which three?
Yeah.
My keep it's for Ira for two things.
Slay.
One, I'm a subscriber of Frank. I've been patiently waiting to hear your thoughts on New York and Salt Lake City.
Baby, I'm on a book tour.
I know, baby, but I need it. I need it. I tune in all the time trying to look for it. And then second, what's your beef with Scorpios? I need you to like...
Oh.
Is your mom in October or November Scorpio?
She's November Scorpio.
So then it's okay. I'm October.
Okay. Yeah.
You can keep on hating.
Yes.
That was the Ricky-like energy
yes.
I wanted. Yes.
Yes. And you can find out more about my relationship with my Scorpio mother in Pure Innocent Fun.
Oh.
On sale now. Wow. Wow, what a moment.
What a moment. Yeah. Oh my God, remember Wow, What a Moment?
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of eras of the show.
I mean, children were listening to this podcast.
I know.
Weddings, graduations, funerals. In Boston. Thank you, Boston, for joining us.
Thank you so much for being here. I hope we get to do more of this in the future. It's been such a thrill for us, and thank you so much for having us here.
Thank you for having us. Don't forget to follow Crooked Media on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. You can also subscribe to Keep It on YouTube for access to full episodes and other exclusive content. And if you're as opinionated as we are, consider dropping us a review or leaving comments on the YouTube page.
Keep It is a Crooked Media production. Our producer is Bill McGrath. Our associate producer is Kennedy Hill. And our executive producers are Ira Madison III, Louis Fertel, and Kendra James. Our digital team is Megan Patzel, Claudia Sheng, and Rachel Gajewski.
This episode was recorded and mixed by Vasilis Fotopoulos. Thank you to Matt DeGroot, David Tolles, Kyle Seglin, and Charlotte Landis for production support every week. Our production staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East. And as always, Keep It is filmed in front of a live studio audience.